My name is Maria Carrion. I'm with an NGO called Nomads HRC in Madrid. I've also directed the Western Sahara Film Festival and the Sahrawi refugee camps.
My name's John Hamilton. I'm a producer at Democracy Now! In New York City. I was a longtime news anchor here at KPFA right on this program.
And my name is Nikki Lewis, and I'm a student at UC Berkeley. And we work with Maria to help verify and curate videos that the Western Saharan activists use.
Great. So in watching the snippets of the documentary that I've had a chance to watch, I know that there was a huge risk involved in trying to even get the footage in 2016 when you all decided to try your hand at doing it. Why did you think it was so important to take the chance?
So I'll speak to that. So it was late in 2016 when I went with the Democracy Now! Team to Morocco. We were in Marrakesh for the United Nations climate talks. And through Maria's work, we were aware of the situation of the Sahrawi, the indigenous population of Western Sahara, who have been beaten, tortured, subjected to all kinds of political repression while resisting Moroccan occupation since 1975. We knew we had to give it a shot, so we drove to Casablanca from Marrakesh and flew into Laayoune, the capital of the territory. And miraculously, we were able to access this space. It's very unusual for Western journalists or journalists of any kind from outside the territory to get into Western Sahara. Somehow we made it. I think it had to do with the United Nations press credentials around our necks and the privilege that people enjoy as United States citizens, especially because the United States is a major arms broker to the Moroccan kingdom. And as such, I think it's more difficult to challenge Americans going into this space. We were there for 4 days. We document the whole thing in the film, 4 Days in Western Sahara, Africa's Last Colony, and I hope people will watch it. But basically, it was a harrowing experience, and it gave us just a window into everyday life that people, that Sahrawis face in this forgotten corner of the world.
And John, you started by saying that through Maria's work, you knew about the situation there. So naturally, I need to hear from Maria about your work that led us to knowing that we needed to dig into this.
I'm a former producer of Democracy Now!, and Democracy Now! Is my second home. And ever since I started working on Western Sahara, I have been after everyone at Democracy Now! To cover this very forgotten conflict, an occupation that has now lasted 43 years. My country, Spain, colonized Western Sahara, and it's also responsible for its situation right now, because instead of basically going through a regular decolonization process and process of self-determination like the rest of Africa did, Spain allowed Morocco to invade in 1975. So the Sahrawi population is split in two. One half lives under occupation, which is where the Democracy Now! Team went. The other half fled into exile under napalm bombs and white phosphorus bombs. And this occupation was also supported by the United States. It was the Cold War. And I've been working to basically and mostly with media and film because it's a forgotten conflict, because there's a media blockade, because Morocco does not want the world to know what's happening. It's incredibly important to support the work that brave Sahrawi journalists are doing inside the territory to film and share the footage of these nonviolent, widespread nonviolent protests taking place across the territory. And it's also important to support the work of refugees who are using film for the first time through this film festival and workshops and a film school that was created in the camps. They're making films for the first time. Sahrawi cinematography is being born as we speak. And these stories are very, very important to share with the rest of the world. And Berkeley, the Berkeley Human Rights Center and its Human Rights Investigations Lab has been absolutely critical in this process of curating and sharing videos of these Sahrawi activists. It's important not just to view them, but to understand what they're showing. And Nikki can tell us more about that.
Do you want to do that really quick? And then I have a follow-up for you.
Okay. Yeah. So like Maria said, we get the videos and we analyze them and we help to establish that they actually took place when they took place. Who's in them actually is who's in them when they took place. So we do all of that to help show people that these videos are true and they're not fake videos that individuals claim them to be sometimes.
Okay, and so in this is going to be very hard. There's a whole documentary, and I have a feeling we're just seeing a snippet even of what's going on there. But could you give our listeners just a snippet of, draw us a bit of a picture of what life is like in this region?
Well, it's an occupied territory. There's no freedom of movement. There's no freedom of speech. The Sahrawi indigenous population is economically marginalized. They cannot fully express their identity, their Sahrawi identity, which is separate from Moroccan identity. They're not even allowed to use their proper Sahrawi names. They're not allowed to pitch their traditional Sahrawi tents. They're excluded from jobs. In addition to the military invasion, there was also a repopulation campaign. So there's hundreds of thousands of Moroccan settlers living there who are getting the jobs. And there's also the illegal extraction of natural resources, which the documentary addresses, phosphates, fishing. And Morocco is selling these goods that belong to the Sahrawi people to the highest bidder, including the EU. The United States has been importing phosphates up until December of this past year. So that's, basically people living in poverty with no universities in the entire territory, because Morocco does not want Sahrawis to be educated, and they don't want them to have spaces to organize in. That's basically what life is like in the occupied Western Sahara.
Thank you. And I suppose we have just a little bit of time left, so I'll try to speed through. John, could you just give us a little bit of a picture of what it was like to try to get the footage in this place that they really don't want media to be present? You've got a camera with you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it was a surprise to everyone, including us, that we were able to access the territory. We had a small number of cameras. I had a medium-sized camcorder, and we had sort of GoPros and cell phone cameras, one DSLR camera. So it was sort of a hodgepodge of equipment. And we had to kind of secret our footage and secret our filming, right? So it is not, it's a very repressive place. It honestly was one of the gloomiest places that I've ever been. And you got the sense that your movement was limited. We were followed everywhere by Secret Service police in plainclothes. A man on a motorcycle followed us, and you see that throughout the film. So when we were in spaces in people's homes, and when we went to visit a human rights center by some very brave people in Laayoune who had set up a human rights center to remember the names and the faces of the disappeared and to call for accountability, when we moved into those spaces, I could pull out the larger camera and we could conduct these interviews.
So there's risk for everybody involved in every part of this process.
There's risk for everyone, but I mean, we occupied a privileged space that we were able, you know, to accomplish this, and people are suffering every day. There are brave women and men, and it's a women-led movement, frankly, among the Sahrawis for autonomy and independence. But there are brave women and men risking their lives and their safety and suffering real consequences, subjected to beatings and historically torture for doing this kind of work. And I think it's a testament to their bravery that we bear witness to it, that we use these images, these videos, to shock the consciences of people who matter, to compel political leaders and companies profiting from the occupation to change their ways. And I want to give a shout out also to the Berkeley Human Rights Center and the labs and the work that you're doing, Nikki, to make sure that you're bearing witness to what these people are risking so much to attain.
Yeah, that's really important, especially with a president that we have here who calls everything fake news. I know you have to get out of here, so here's what I want to ask you to end on. You've taken all this risk. The people who spoke, even though you had a privileged space, people who spoke took risk. What do you want the international media to take from this? What do you want people in the Western world to do when they see this film going forward? What can we all do to keep this conversation going, to stand in solidarity with these people?
Well, I think that conflicts get solved when civil society gets involved, when, first of all, there's information and people know who the players are. In this case, the conflict is stuck at the United Nations Security Council. There was supposed to be a referendum on self-determination in 1991. Imagine 27 years later where we are, or 28. So the first thing is to inform yourselves. The second thing is to act. You can pressure your members of Congress because the United States is a key player in Western Sahara. Not much is said about Western Sahara, but it's in the hands of the United States to resolve this conflict. So U.S. citizens can definitely pressure. The second thing is we are launching a platform where you'll be able to see these videos, these verified videos by the Investigations Lab. It's called WatchingWesternSahara.org. It's in under construction right now, but soon it will be up, and people will actually be able to see these videos and understand what happens and view them as a whole. And there you'll get an idea of exactly how much is at stake inside Western Sahara.
And where can our listeners catch up with this documentary if they aren't able to see it this evening?
Well, I think, you would have to race over to the Berkeley campus right now to see it. so I think you missed the boat, but luckily it is available online. You can go to democracynow.org and right on the homepage, look for a link to our documentary.
The Human Rights Center may be live streaming.
Yes.
We're working on that. So hopefully people will be able to watch. And one more thing, Tuesday, the UN Security Council is voting on Western Sahara. So Western Sahara is actually front and center in terms of the international community. They have to do something about this. And the Western Sahara is under siege because people get out to protest whenever the issue reaches the Security Council. So they're not even able to leave their homes, a lot of them, and congregate. They've been beaten. They've been blockaded from manifesting their right to demonstrate. So the fact that this is happening here today is very important because it's where they can have a space to tell the world what's going on.
And then any future plans? Will there be a follow-up to this project?
Well, I mean, I can certainly say that on Democracy Now! We continue to cover this extensively. And Maria, you could speak to other projects.
Part of what we do is help reporters go inside Western Sahara and filmmakers make films about Western Sahara. So there's continuously films being made and screened internationally, showing different aspects of the women's movement, the situation in the refugee camps, the fact that youth have no future to look forward to. And these are all films and media pieces that are done more and more and more by Sahrawis themselves. So you can also look for these films in festivals and in different events. There's more and more of them. In fact, there's a retrospective of Yara Lee's film, Referendum and Resistance in Western Sahara. It's called, and that's actually in New York City next week. But if anyone's around in New York City, they could catch it. It's a very good film.
Sounds awesome. And this is the fluffiest question, so if anyone has to bounce, they can. But I would just love to hear the most important thing that you all learned from participating in the filming of this project. If there's a thing that you can, a lesson, an observation.
Oh, boy. The resiliency that people can show in the face of truly horrific circumstances, that people can be pushed into the dirt. They can have their livelihoods denied. They can lack employment. They can be beaten in the streets for displaying two fingers and a peace sign or an independence sign or for holding a flag. And they can brush themselves up off and get up and do it again. I mean, there's a particular dignity to that. That is something that, you know, no amount of guns and violence that the Moroccan state has can repress.
Anything either of you wanted to add?
I mean, I just think that these people have so much courage and passion. And it, as a student, it made me want to learn more about the conflict and help raise awareness also on our campus, which is why we wanted to have the event here, to bring this conversation forward and at universities among young people.
I would say the important role that that U.S. media has to play, because nobody else would have gotten in. It was those passports that got them in. So it's our responsibility to make that happen.
Thank you all so much. And I know we have to wrap. Have a great event.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.